Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and man, have we got some good stuff to share with you today. If you're one of those individuals that is sitting looking at yourself in the mirror and saying, I am so bored, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life, I hate my job, or if you're unemployed and you're saying, oh my goodness, my particular area of work isn't available anymore, what do I do? How do I manage? I'm scared. Well, that and much, much more, I think we're going to be able to address today with my guest, Carolyn Cantier. And Carol, I want to welcome you to the show.
Well, thank you, Donna. I'm glad to be here.
Now, it's interesting. You've been very much involved with working with people and enabling them to make career shifts. You actually research career life transitions. You feel that intuition is something that can be folded into this. You like to teach people how to feel a sense of purpose in whatever they're doing, and you like to empower them. Carol, for you as an individual, what is it that makes you have a passion about doing this yourself? Because the world of careers, as it has been classified, my goodness, it is so varied. There are so many different arenas. People don't have any idea the opportunities that are out there. What made you decide that this was your niche, that this was something you really wanted to get into? Why?
Well, I'll tell you, Donna, it's been a long journey. I started off as a phys ed teacher and then a guidance counselor and a guidance department head. And a lot of kids coming to school didn't have any goals or were not motivated or were dropping out whatever. They had no goals. And I looked at myself, and I helped them with that. But I also said to myself, well, now, because I have always enjoyed what I've been doing. I was a phys ed teacher, guidance department, and I enjoyed that. But then after a period of time, I became disengaged. So I talk about the career cycle of entry, mastery, and disengagement in my book. That's what was happening to me. I didn't realize what was happening to me. But late 20s, early 30s, late 30s, early 40s, late 40s, early 50s, and so on, we reassess. And I wanted to research this, what was happening to me, to see if there was something the matter with me. And so that led to my PhD thesis, why do some people voluntarily change jobs, why do other people not, and are career transitions related to the life cycle? And I found, yes, they are, and change is normal. So anybody that is reassessing or wondering, you've got lots of company. And that's why I wrote my book. I wanted to share that change is normal. Whether it is voluntary, you make the decision, or whether it's involuntary, you get laid off, or something else happens that you are unemployed. This is considered that instead of a problem or a difficulty, consider it a challenge and the beginning of new opportunities, because that is what it can be. And so that's why I wrote my book, and that's kind of what took me to where we are. Now, this is the fifth edition of my book. I wrote the first edition just when I was finished my PhD, but then as I gathered new information about the world and career and the universe, I wanted to integrate these into the, you know, more holistic aspect of career development, which is really life development, because career is related to all components of our lives.
I agree. And in today's world, it is very much different, let's say, from 40 years ago, 50 years ago. And when we look at the history of the working environment for men and women both, it has just made such major shifts, especially since the 1960s, when technology started freeing up the opportunity for women to go into areas of education that were previously closed to them. They still had to battle through it in the 70s and 80s. However, by golly, now, at least in the Western world, women can pretty much go into just about anything they want, as can men. And people's attitudes have changed significantly regarding work. What is the biggest change that you have noticed between, let's say, the older generations and the newer generation regarding careers?
Well, you know, some of the older generation are more flexible with careers than some of the younger. It depends. There are so many different components to this. But I just really call this old views of career development new. Now, the new view of career development, it's a lifelong process of maintaining harmony between who you are and what you do. And more important is who you are, development of the person. Whereas the old view, which some people still have, whether they're 70 or 20, our career growth means moving up the corporate ladder and measuring up against the approved professional timetable. You are what you do. And yet, you know, when we go to parties or meet somebody for the first time, what do we often get asked?
What do you do?
Yeah.
What kind of work do you do?
Yeah.
That
now, when I would travel, for example, on the airplane, somebody would sit next to me, and I would decide whether I wanted to say I'm a psychologist or I'm a teacher. If I mm-hmm. wanted to talk, I would say I'm a psychologist. If I didn't want to talk very much, I would say I'm a teacher.
Now, that's an interesting statement. What was it? If people found out you were a teacher, they thought you would be boring? Or as a psychologist?
That's their perception, but they weren't as interested.
Oh, that's amazing to me. That is absolutely amazing to me. Of course, I'm a little bit different. I'm considered weird by some people, and that's perfectly all right with me because I love finding out what people do. I mean, I think teachers can be fascinating. Now, let's talk about the world today. Your book is titled Dare to Change Your Job and Your Life. Let's start with the younger generation. They're coming out of high school. They're perhaps going into college. I'd say 97.9% of those going to college really haven't a clue about what they want to do. So they're going into college, and they may have some idea, but they really don't know themselves ever, you know, very well. How many of us do when we're in our late teens, early 20s? Stepping out into the world as it is going to present itself to us. Well, let's talk about that. What would you recommend to a younger person?
Well, you know, there's a number of things I would recommend. I'm not sure all the parents would agree, because I've been, as I indicated, a high school guidance counselor and teacher. It certainly is helpful to have someone at school or the parents to help. I think the general idea is to keep broad to begin with, but I would say take a couple of years off to work, travel, learn who you are. Schools do give counseling. Many schools do give counseling, or one can get private counseling to help narrow. But you really don't. You're right to know what you want because you're still finding out who you are. Well, you know, Donna, we continue to find out who we are. But this is a particularly important time. And not to get excited about it and not to be a sort of do or die. It career change and career path is reversible. There is no such thing as the wrong decision if you do it for the right reason. And skills are transferable. So, you know, if you don't feel like going to university, but if your parents want you to, then this is something you want to discuss. Sometimes the university education, give you some, additional knowledge and people, may be steered in the right path. But if you want a year or two off, I think that's good too. Very important is to know, what are the high school subjects that you enjoyed that you really, really were good at? Maybe, for example, if you were good in math or science, you may want to investigate a science program. If you were good in history or English, you might want to consider the arts. But don't narrow your options too quickly. Now, I know a lot of people, for example, I had a client who went into law because she wanted to be a lawyer. She put out thousands of dollars to study law, and then she got a job in a big legal company. And she hated it. She didn't do much research related to law. What she loves doing and what she is now doing is healthcare. She's interested in hands-on healing.
Mm-hmm.
So investigate before you put out a lot of money going to school. Investigate, do research as to whether or not you would like to do that. Talk to people, read about the field, like law versus healthcare, and so forth. There's a lot of options. There's a lot of information on the internet that enables you to, explore options. United States Labor Dictionary of Occupational Titles and Occupational Outlook Handbook has a variety of occupations. And in my book, I show people how to explore who they are and what options are available to them based on your needs, your interests, your skills, and your passion.
Now, you have a number of questionnaires, too, throughout your book that enables people to make evaluations if they are really involved in their jobs, if they have burned out, how to prevent burnout as part of your book. Let's take another phase of life. Let's take someone between the ages of their late 30s going into their 50s. In our world today, 40s, and 50s is still young. It's like the 60s and 70s are becoming middle age. People are living so much longer. It's amazing how we are not in the same positioning like our grandparents and great-grandparents were, and instead of being fossils in rocking chairs when the age of 80 happens, or even 90, which is amazing to me, people are still burning and churning and thrilled to be a part of life. So here we've got some people in their late 30s, perhaps up to their early 50s. They maybe have been involved in certain areas of employment. Maybe they have become very dissatisfied. Maybe they've been laid off. What steps would you recommend for someone in that genre? Because they're frightened. I mean, look at how many individuals have been laid off, lost their jobs. It's forcing them to look at new things. What steps would you recommend that they take?
Yeah, well, let me give an example so that we can go by this just to show what we can do. I had a gentleman who is 40, was laid off. He was was a firefighter laid off, and he... we went through the process of who is he, what are his interests, needs, skills, most important, what was his passion. And so we did the research. I don't know how much we want to get into depth here, but he, used intuition to identify his options. And he explored using the internet, and the first ideas that piqued his mind, and he laid his eyes on an occupation that said coordinator disaster planning.
Interesting.
Now, he uses intuition in that sense. That we, you know, what's the first thing that comes to us? We have to do our reading. We have to investigate using the, you know, cognitive strategies research. But while we're doing that, where do our eyes take us? How do we feel about something? Now, he was laid off in December 2010. In January, mid-January, he was offered a job as coordinator of disaster planning. What he did was, well, he knew himself. He knew what he wanted. He was able to use his skills. He was able to express his passion. He was able to use his needs or express his need for autonomy and growth and creativity in this job. He laid out a resume. He investigated possible employers that would hire someone in disaster planning because this is a new field, and he got a job. Now, 6 months later, he is very happy and moving forward. I don't know what that has said, but in a nutshell, it is know who you are, pay attention to your passion, explore your options, identify where you can get what you want, learn how to sell yourself, market yourself, to the employer, because they don't always know what you offer, particularly if you change fields, and then do your contacts. And be, persistent in this, not aggressive, but be persistent. I would start by sending an email, but you must investigate the employers and then find out who the hiring manager is. Give him or her a call, introduce yourself with a brief elevator speech, which I describe in my book, and oftentimes they are interested. So it's not who, you know, they'll then ask for you to send your resume, and you can sort of go from there. It's not finding a job, it's creating a job. Which is
boy, that's so different. That's so different than what most of us think. When you find people that are searching for jobs, you ask them, what would you like to do? First thing they say, I don't care. I just want a job. And I understand that positioning. But I think what you have just shared is invaluable. I think that it serves purpose well. Because we need to know, regardless of the age, we need to know that there is an opportunity for us to share our skills and talents. Youth has sometimes a disadvantage because they don't have any experience. People who are older that do have experience may find that they want to enter into a venue that is unlike anything they've ever known. Yet they don't realize that they can transfer the skills and disciplines that they've acquired through their years of living into that different venue. Their age does not have to work against them. It's a fascinating phenomenon. You share a story in your book about a woman, Barbara McClintock, and she was an oddball. I love oddballs because I'm one myself. And she didn't, according to your story in here, she didn't let anybody stop her from doing what she wanted to do. She was a tomboy. She just did all kinds of things that were interesting. And it was just amazing to me that at 81 years of age, she won the Nobel Prize in Physiology in 1983. She was 81 years old. Goodness gracious, that's inspiring.
Yeah, well, you see, Barbara McClintock is a quester. And as you well know, people who are considered oddball may be questers. Questers generally look at career development with, you know, the idea of, you know, being able to express yourself. They follow their purpose. They're optimistic. They enjoy growing. They enjoy challenge. They're confident. They set high standards for themselves. They periodically assess their values and goals, and they pay attention to their feelings and other things. And they are the ones that, if they lose their job, they'll say, it's just a challenging opportunity. And they will find ways of creating the job they want, or not necessarily the job where someone pays you, the employer, creating your own job. I had another recent client who was laid off. He was interested in agriculture. And really, his mission was to help feed the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he was interested, is interested in machinery, agricultural machinery. How could his machinery and his knowledge, information, create better products, make better use of the land, etc., so that he can help feed the world? He started his own business mm-hmm. in the agricultural field. And I saw him just last week. He was offered a job by a big agribusiness company. They wanted to integrate what he had to offer so that they could expand their products and services. Now, that gentleman created his own job. His name is Doug McKay.
Well, I think this
is fabulous.
I asked
him if I could share his information, and he said yes.
I think that's
marvelous.
So there's,
you know, another example of someone that created, and, you know, he started off, he had as a wife and two young children, and, you know, to start your own business, there are trade-offs. But he talked it over with his wife. She's working part-time. They made the trade-offs, and that this is where he is now. And this has been less than a year as well.
I think it's marvelous. And I think it's also a demonstration of the entrepreneurship and the human spirit at its finest and its best. And I really think that it is sad that in our schools, especially when we have students in high school, if they're of an academic disposition, we say do the fast track program. They're in classes. They have maybe 2 years of college that they have finished, and they've got 2 years if they're going on to college afterwards. And it's all this information, but no one gives the awareness to young people unless they're fortunate enough to be a part of an entrepreneur group, or maybe they have members of their family that are oddballs. They don't realize that this world and the needs of this world are absolutely infinite. And just like you said, this gentleman had an interest in agriculture, started doing something, was doing some kind of service or product, and someone said, gee, I like what you do. Will you become a part of my team? I need what you have. He found a niche, and he provided something. And if you just walk into a grocery store, just look at all of the items on the shelf. It involves tens of thousands, millions of people, whether it's consumers or the producer themselves. There is so much need in this world. And I just think it's wonderful. Your book brings out so much of this information. You talk about career stages, beginning career, developing career, maturing career, and continuing career. I love your attitude because you have this positioning. All right, you're just getting out of college. Maybe you're thinking of getting a doctorate in something, but why don't you go out and live life? Why don't you see what life is all about? You move on, maybe you marry, maybe you have a family, you go into your 30s, you say, gee whiz, I really think I'd like to expand into something else. You give some good advice there. The same thing with a more mature individual in their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and it goes on. It really makes the positioning of career entirely different from what so frequently is enforced in the educational system. What would you, I know your book, Dare to Change Your Job and Your Life, people can get that, but when someone has a youngster in the family, or where would there be something in schools that would be available to people to give them that kind of support that they need?
Well, many high schools, Donna, do have programs. Not all of them. It depends on your locale. So there are, you know, counselors in the school that hopefully do this. If not, they're, you know, what is their favorite subject? What is, you know, if it's math, science, English, there are librarians there, phys ed, health, whatever. Teachers know what options are available in their favorite field. Contact the university, community college, employment group nearby, find out what the options are. But this generation, the young people, know how to use the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So get on there and explore and try different jobs. Do volunteer work. Do you want to volunteer in a hospital? Do you want to volunteer in a grocery store, or maybe you'll get paid there? Do you want to volunteer in a library? Do you want to, you know, where would you like to try to work? Do you, some young people that I've heard stories from do want to work with pets or vets. They can volunteer there, get part-time jobs to find out more about what it is they want.
I agree. And, you know, sometimes as adults, we get involved in careers because our parents wanted it, or whatever society we come up through. Gee, this is what we're supposed to do. That's the one thing about getting mature. You can learn how to say, nope, I think I'm going to shift. And I think that's marvelous. And we live in a time when, just like you said, the internet is available. If someone wanted to get into an aspect of the medical field, don't just look at the paycheck. Don't just look at the dollars. Look at what you really absolutely love to do. What, just when you look at it, you say, wow, I could get up every morning and feel good. I don't care if it's feeding the hogs and raising them for bacon, or if it is singing on a stage, or whatever else may cross your path. I do think, Carol, that you have got some wonderful information in your book. You've shared a lot of good ideas. DareToChange.com is your website. I want to thank you very much for being my guest. Carol's last name is Kancher, K-A-N-C-H-I-E-R, and her first name is spelled C-A-R-O-L-E. Carol, it's been wonderful having you as a guest. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Donna, and I'd like to wish all of the listeners all the very best. And
thank you.
Look upon the future as bright, and it will be.
I agree. I agree. That's what we need more of. Not doom and gloom, but the reality we can make a difference by following our passion. Again, Carol, thank you very much for being my guest.
Thank you, Donna.
DareToChange.com. Look it up and get the book. Donna Siebel here. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Siebel. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com. and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna, and for those of you who are wanting to call in, we'll be taking calls at the quarter hour. But right now, we have a very special lady, Amy Forsyth. She is participating. She's actually in charge of a lot of activities at the Washington Renaissance Midsummer Fair. Or I should say, the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair. I've got to get it in line, Amy. My goodness.
It's a tongue twister.
Yes, it is. I'm really looking forward to it. This weekend is the first weekend that is coming up for this event. How old is the Renaissance Fair in the state of Washington?
Well, there was previous ownership of the show that encompasses much of, you know, our actors and the shows that we had. So this year, without the year we didn't open in 2008, this, I believe, would be our 13th or 14th season. Under the NPO, this will be our third season.
Well, I'll tell you what. I have been a participant for about 12 years, and it has absolutely every year been an adventure. It seems like this fair just brings so much out. Now, for those of you who are listening, I know if you're in different states in the country, you may say, oh, gee whiz, Renaissance Fair, we might have some in ours. Well, this one in particular is in the state of Washington. It's being held at the Kelly Farm in Bonnie Lake, and it's an absolutely wonderful event, and we've got, it's totally oriented towards family. We've got clowns. We have got people that have costumes that you wonder where in the world they ever got the ideas for them, because it's fantasy personified. It is absolutely magical. Tell us something about the events that are going on, Amy, because this is really a dynamic happening for 3 weekends, the first 3 weekends in August.
Absolutely, and we are actually one in the top 10 of Renaissance fairs in the country. Our gate that we get in. It's a wonderful event. It's gotten bigger every year, and it really does kind of have a little bit of everything for everyone. There are all kinds of magic shows and juggling. We have jousting. The jousters that we have, Cavallo Equestrian Arts, they're based out of Florida, and they're seventh generation Italian acrobats. They're amazing. They can do flips from one horse to another horse. And they do full contact jousting as well. They don't use anything that's pre-notched or fake. They use actual full-weight jousting equipment, which is something that almost no other jousting company in the country does.
That is incredible. And coming all the way in from Florida, they must make the circuit for the Renaissance Fairs, because that's quite a show to put on.
It is quite a show. They do. They go to a few other Renaissance fairs. They mainly do circus work because their love, their upbringing is the acrobatics.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, I just have nothing but the deepest respect for those people that go out and demonstrate jousting on those horses, because that armor is enough. Just looking at it makes me sweat. And when you've got beautiful weather like we've got here and the sun is shining, it makes me wonder why more didn't die in the process of jousting than did in the years past. But the kids love it. They absolutely love it. I see the little boys, their faces just shining with excitement and enthusiasm after they see it. But there's something, like you said, for everyone that's there. Not only is there delicious food, but there's all kinds of craftsmanship that is demonstrated. Talented people, that are women there, that do stitchery sometimes, and it's done by hand, and I'm just in awe of what they do. I'd have no patience for this. Tell us about some of the vendors and what's going to be going on.
We have wonderful vendors, lots and lots of handcrafted things. We actually also, some of our actors do stitch work as well. We have a girl in our noble court who's recreating the embroidery of Bess of Hardwick from England, from Elizabeth's reign. And it's amazing. And she's working on her master's degree in textile. And it's amazing to see what just our actors can do. Our vendors, we have absolutely beautiful things and jewelry and pottery. We have all manner of handcrafted things and lots of wonderful costuming and great pirate merchants, too. And this year, the Sea Dogs, who are very familiar to people who live in Northern California and Southern California, will be up as merchants as well as performers. So we sort of blur the lines there, but we have amazing food this year. And the Kelly Farm is much larger than our last location, so we've added a lot more new merchants and a lot more new food merchants.
Now, with what's going on there, what are some of the things that you would advise people to be prepared for? I know from having been involved in this event for so many years, I always tell people, make sure you wear comfortable walking shoes because you are actually out on farm property. So this, you don't want to be trying to do something with shoes that are not necessarily going to be able to take the bumps and the dips in the road.
Well, and every year there are a couple absolutely lovely, like, young ladies that show up in beautiful fantasy costumes with tall, high-heeled boots, and I just feel for them. Yes, yeah, so you want to wear comfortable walking shoes. It is easily navigable for wheelchairs and scooters. We don't have the big hill. Yeah, on this new site, the ground is a little uneven, but we don't have any major hills. So it's extremely easy for people who want to come in wheelchairs and scooters and people who don't want to walk up a hill, myself included. That worked itself out very nicely. And we've added, because it's larger, we built a new stage this year that's beautiful. It's called the Auld Lion Theater. And we added a maypole and a fairy house and some new fairy things so that when Amy Brown, the fantasy artist, comes out, we have somewhere lovely to put her that's appropriate to her fairy artwork.
And Amy, who is known internationally for her beautiful artwork with fairies and various designs, she's just an incredible artist. She has been a participant in this fair for as long as I've been aware of it, and it's just been wonderful. And she came out last year. She was out there in person. I don't know that that's going to happen this year. But
it is, actually.
She going to be out there this year?
Yes, she'll be out there for the Fairy and Fantasy Weekend. Absolutely.
Oh, wow. Now, tell us about the titles that you've given each weekend, because people come out dressed for that particular weekend. So this first weekend coming up, what is the title for this weekend? What's the theme?
It's our Pirate Weekend, and everyone is so excited that the new Pirates of the Caribbean came out, so we decided that we would have some fun with that. And we have tons and tons of pirates this year. And we actually added a couple water games that are over by our pirates. And it seems like it's going to be a pretty hot weekend this weekend.
Yes.
So we've added two water games. And people can keep cool by getting wet. And we've added more misters. And so that ought to be fun. And we'll have those all three weekends. But yes, the first weekend is our Pirate Weekend. The second is our Fairy and Fantasy Weekend. And we encourage people to wear their fairy wings and paint their faces and come as fairy folk. And our third weekend is Her Majesty's Royal Masquerade, where anyone with carnival masks or any sort of mask that they'd like to wear to fair, we encourage them to wear it. And a lot of our noble court goes around in their masks, and our Commedia show fits right in that weekend. So
it's really quite an experience. And I know you were titling the weekends last year, and the response of the public to that was just incredible. And every weekend there would be this entourage of people that would come in with their imaginative costumes. And it's so much fun to see the little kids come in. Mom and dad dress the little ones and not dress themselves, but dress the little ones, and they're in the most adorable costumes. And that's something else, too. People, if they don't come in there a place where they can be in costume?
We don't do costume rentals this year, but there are tons of merchants who sell beautiful costuming and lots of really reasonably priced costuming as well. Which is hard to find at some Ren fairs. But yes, and the kids dressing up, the kids are really the best part of it. We do a knighting ceremony at 3 p.m. on the Queen stage where all of the children can come and be made a knight or a lady. And just seeing them get to dress up and have fun and show up excited and leave exhausted is kind of what makes it all worth doing.
Well, it makes so many memories. Now, let's talk about the third weekend, because that is about the Queen. Now, is the Queen's court going to be appearing each of the weekends? I mean, this is a full entourage of court, including the Monsignor and many other members, of course, and the ladies-in-waiting, and they're all in absolutely spectacular costumes. So are they going to be there every weekend?
Yes, every weekend we play Mary Queen of Scots, and she will be there, and we play her. She's very, very young. She's just returned from France where her husband has died, and she needs a new husband, and she's arrived in Scotland. And it's nice because she actually historically did arrive on August 20th. So it's one of the days, you know, for our fair, and we're pretty happy about that. So she arrives there, and everyone is looking to find her a new husband. So she and her court will be there, and they appear at the 11 o'clock and 4 o'clock joust, and they're at the Queen's knighting ceremony at 3 o'clock. And the Queen takes luncheon at noon, and anyone who wants to stop by the noble encampment and say hello to Her Majesty is more than welcome to.
Well, as you can tell, this is an event that is absolutely marvelous. I'm involved. I'll be there in my own booth, and look for the bright red, yellow banners with big red lions on it. That's my signal.
Those are beautiful, too. So
we're
delighted to have you.
Yes, well, it's just such a joy to be there. And, of course, I get to wear my glam outfits. I have just so many fun things that I enjoy observing.
You look like you fit in with our gypsies. You look like you fit right in with the ROM. And that's who I dress as fair as well. So you look like you fit right in with us.
Yes, and it's just a delight to be a part of it again. Amy, I know that the location is at the Kelly Farm in Bonnie Lake. Now, people can go to your website, the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair, get directions, find out what the fees are, and you were gracious enough to give me 20 tickets that went so quickly. And just had a wonderful
response. And our website is WashingtonFair, F-A-I-R-E, .com.
Okay.
And they can even buy tickets in advance and beat the line at the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the maps and directions to the site and a list of our merchants and performers, our schedule, our map, everything that anyone could possibly need is right there. And our patrons are also welcome to camp with us, too. You can buy a camping pass and camp at the fair so that you can go all weekend if you want to.
Hey, well, that gives an option. That is really exciting to hear about. The Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair. They're considered one of the top 10 fairs throughout the nation, and I guarantee you, you will not regret coming out. I look forward to seeing you there. Amy, I know I'll see you there on Saturday. It's exciting.
Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to it, and I know you're on your way back to the grounds because there's so much still to be done. So we'll be seeing you soon.
All right, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. And just know, if you're waiting to talk to me, you can do it now. Give a call at 888-627-6008. Thanks again, Amy. We're taking a break.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253 582 5604. You can also visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you want to chat, 888-627-6008. We're going to take our next caller, and she's been waiting very patiently. Hi, first name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hi, L, and I'm calling from Tacoma.
From Tacoma. Okay, L. First thing that I'm looking at with you is a setback. The setback is occurring because of circumstances that are out of your control. So don't get all wound up over the setback. Realize that you can do what you need to do and be patient, because there are, it looks like, loose ends all of a sudden coming out at you. It reminds me of guitar or violin strings breaking all of a sudden. And you're going to go, oh, I didn't need this. This is the last thing I needed to have in my life. And I know what that feeling is like. But I want you to know, give yourself 2 to 3. Now, it's either 2 to 3 days or 2 to 3 weeks, and you're going to be able to work past the setback. But you are going to have to be mindful of how you manage your money. You must be conservative with it, because you're going to have, if you're not careful, more going out than what's coming in. So try to balance those dollars effectively. And I would say this year, keeping your balance financially is important. Next year, start looking, maybe even at the latter part of this year, start looking at what you want to do financially for yourself, so you can work out a plan that you can stick with. Begin it, even if it's just a small amount of money a month. Begin it as soon as you can, right at the beginning of 2012, and move forward with it. And financially, you're going to be sitting pretty within 3 years. What would you like to ask me?
I wanted to ask you about health issues.
All right. What in particular was concerning you? You actually have pretty good physical stamina. What is it that's bothering you?
That I've had a change in my, I'm just all of a sudden feeling extremely congested and very tired. So I was just wondering if you could pick up anything.
Well, actually, your physical well-being is pretty good. What I think has happened is that you've had a metabolic shift in your body. And what you may want to do is to go in and have a good physical. Make sure you've got a doctor that's really going to give you a good physical. And I would encourage you to have some blood tests done, because I suspect that you're low in B vitamins, and I think there may be a need for some supplementation, like with vitamin D or something else. But you should have the tests done to really be aware of what's going on with you. And also, because of the hormonal balance, and with levels of stress that I'm seeing you having experienced, and we all go through that, you just need to be aware that your body is going through this shift, and if you work with your body, you're going to be able to bring yourself back up to par. One of the reasons that you're so tired is that you're not sleeping soundly at night. Your mind is extremely busy, and you have a lot of dreams, and so you're not getting the rest the way you want, and you've got a busy mind. So you need to be able to try to discipline yourself, or get into some kind of a routine at night where you're not going to be in that agitated state and be able to get the rest that you need. And that is very important for you, because you're really not sleeping that well.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. But I do think this is going to be solvable. I'm not looking at you with any horrific disease of any kind. I think it means that you've got to be mindful about yourself, and I compliment you because you're paying attention. This is good.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Donna.
You're welcome, Lily, and I hope you'll come out to the Ren Fair.
Yes, that sounds wonderful.
Well, I think you
okay,
will
thank
have
you.
The, be sure and stop by and say hello if you do.
Okie doke.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Siebel, and I want to just say, if you want to give me a buzz and chat, 888-627-6008 is the telephone number to call in to. Now, tomorrow, we're going to be talking about the art of convening. Patricia and Craig Neal are going to be my guests, and this is about how to communicate. So many people today, of all ages, don't know how to communicate. And here we live with this technology. People are using their thumbs to text. They've gotten used to abbreviating. Their thinking processes are abbreviated. And being able to communicate well means that you take time to do it. It's an important aspect of life. And it is a very valuable one. It is important in building career. It's important in having a healthy relationship. It's important overall. And I think all of us can recall times when people just don't want to bother to listen. And all of this and more we'll be discussing tomorrow with Patricia and Craig. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking with Thomas Luckenbill. His book is titled Staying Awake, A True Story of Life in Death. Thomas's experience was an extremely personal one. It involved the death of his mother. The experience that he is going to be sharing with us on Friday is a profound one. It totally changed his life, his perceptions, his paradigms, and it's changing other people's lives because instead of hiding it, he's sharing it. So we've got a dynamic batch of guests this week and next week and the following week, and this is the way it is on the Donna Siebel Show. We have a very eclectic array of people, and I like to think that each and every time when you tune into the show and you hear these people, you're learning something new. You're becoming aware of a facet of life, an opportunity in life that maybe you would not otherwise be in, well, engaged in. And it's so convenient because on your computer, you can listen while you're working or doing anything like that. So be sure to share the information about the show with your friends and tell them to tune in. And if you want to know about the guests that are coming up, all you need to do is go into show information and you'll find all of the little bits of bio that I put in about people and about, not bio, but actually information about the subject matter we're going to be discussing right there. Gives you a little bit of a taste so that you know what we are going to be talking about. Donna Siebel here. I know we are just about out of time. My goodness, the hour has just gone by like the wind. So what I thought I would share with you quickly, for those of you that are in California, it appears there's going to be an opportunity for me to go into Southern California, the Los Angeles area, at the end of September. I do not have the dates located right now, and then I'm hoping to be able to go to Alaska in October and perhaps even New York. So I'm trying to work out details at this time, and as soon as I have them all in place, you will be one of the first to know. Well, I know we're out of time here. Remember always, you are the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Life is change. There are no shortcuts to this. If you are in an in-between state on any level of your life or within any level of your life, be aware there are options to work with. If people around you are down in the mouth, reach out for those people who are not. Put yourself in situations where you can brainstorm with people so you can have ideas. Look at things differently. That's what life is all about. Living. Being a part of a change in a good way. Shine your light. This is Donna Siebel. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.